Fighting fascism wasn't on my 2020 vision board. All I wanted to do was go on vacation and meet someone new. Clearly, that's unlikely to happen. And with that in mind, I decided that I would do a mid-year review. Normally, I don't do these mid-year. I prefer to do it at the end of the year, like in December or January. But I literally feel like I've lived a lifetime in the past 5 months. And since July is the midpoint of the year, and this is my birthday week, my birthday's tomorrow, Leo's rule, other signs drool, I thought that I would share some insight into how this year has been professionally and personally. This is also an opportunity for me to kind of assess what has been working and what hasn't been so far. This episode is sponsored by Make Money with eBooks Academy. I love helping people write their books. I got really geeky right there, but really, I love the process of helping people birth their creative works, whether it's a fiction or a nonfiction book. If you have a book that you would like to bring to the world, please do check out, that is Make Money with eBooks Academy at michelleismoneyhungry.com/academy. Not really editing this episode, so just heads up. It's going to be a little rougher than most of my episodes, but you know what? I'm tired. I am so freaking tired, and I'm going to share why I'm so freaking tired. Now, this episode, I'm going to talk about kind of debt repayment and other money matters, business, and personal. So let's get into it. I'm going to spill some tea. When COVID hit, because I already worked from home, many aspects of my daily life basically didn't change. I was still focused on growing my income, in particular passive income via an affiliate strategy, coaching, course sales, ebooks, and sponsorships, to name just a few of the revenue streams that I've been focusing on. Then I finally added some new freelance clients who were completely in alignment with my energy and, quite honestly, earnings expectations. So I thought it would be good to kind of talk about, from a business perspective, what's happened since March, because it's been 5 months since COVID hit. Well, because I'm crazy, I did between 18 to 20 podcast interviews. I actually just got a notification that one went live today. So my thought was, when I decided to kind of say yes to pitches to me to be a guest and also to pitch shows to be a guest, that now was a good time to focus on podcasting as a marketing strategy because everyone was at home. So it was just easier to get on shows because where else, what else were we going to do? Where else were we going to go? We were at home. So I just was like, you know, I know that sometimes it takes a while for shows to be edited. I'm a podcaster, so that's been my experience. Like sometimes some shows are really fast and they're just out there, and other times people will sit on the episode. So my thought was, the more shows I got on, the more likely it would be that I would create some momentum with marketing my brand. And it was actually a really smart move. However, being a guest on 18 to 20 shows is a lot of work. And so I've decided that in August, I'm not going to be recording any podcasting content as a guest or as a host on my shows, plural. Why? Because I have a ton of content. I have so many shows, so many like backup episodes. Like I've batched a lot of work. And so now I just want to sit down and edit that content. I have a ton. So I'm really looking forward to taking August, October, November, December off from actively recording content because I literally have that much. However, in September, I will still record quite a few episodes to kind of round out the rest of the year. That was a lot of episodes. I launched the Make Money with eBooks Academy in April. Yes, during the pandemic, and I will say people purchased it. It's an incredible value. And recently I've decided to combine the course with an ongoing membership. I think it better serves my students because I'm still building out the monthly membership. So I was dabbling in launching a product during this crazy time. And I learned a couple of things. So the first thing is, it took 2 years to really figure out the right approach to help people get their books out into the world. And I think that that's something to think about with any product that you're trying to launch. It's going to take some time to figure out what's the right fit for both you and your students. The other really big lesson I learned from this is be bold, and people still buy when you think that they won't. You just have to be really intentional about who you're targeting and not be tone deaf. Now, I will say that personally, I did not take into account, and I think this is partly because I was still in shock about the fact that we were in a pandemic. I didn't take into account my energy and how energetically nurturing and launching a product like this would be for me, because I launched the product and it was fine. Like, the membership was fine. And then all of the Black Lives Matters protests happened at the same time, or rather the protests happened, I'd say about 5 weeks later. Like, it was pretty quick. And all of us were just exhausted. My students, I was. So it really slowed down what I had promised. And that actually makes me feel really badly, but fortunately it was a small launch. And so I can improve upon that. And I've worked with all of my students. No one was like, Michelle, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, I didn't expect how the pandemic affected my energy levels. I was just clear. And they were like, you know what? I get it, because we're having the same problem. So this is the other thing. People don't expect you to be a robot if you're attracting the right people to your vibe. And being candid and honest and open about what you're struggling with, I think, is important. And so now my energy, even though I'm tired, my energy has started to get back to where I need it to be to really nurture this product and the projects that these wonderful people are working on. And I'm so excited about it, but I feel like it's important to bring that up. I was also a speaker or contributed to the following projects: Podthon, which I love. It is a collaboration between woke podcasters and the Asian American podcaster communities. I'm a member of Woke Podcasters, but I'm also a part of the podcasting community here in Colorado, in particular, collaborating with House of Pod on their We Are Amped program, From Margins to the Center, where I mentor women of color in podcasting. The program that I was mentoring in just, or the program that I was mentoring with just finished last night. So that was something that was huge. So it was very important for me to be a part of Podthon to help elevate podcasting out there in the world for people who don't look like what you think a podcaster would. So I had a great time contributing to that. I contributed to the Financial Boss Summit, which happened right around COVID. So that was really like intense. And that's from Black Girl Financial. I always forget what the M stands for. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'll figure it out. And then I helped provide some content with a course called She's Blogging. And I'm actually also a speaker at the Fuel Your Influence event that's going to be held in September. It's now a virtual event, as you would expect. And I'm really looking forward to being a speaker for that. Jenny, who runs that event, is amazing. And the swag bags that she provides for this event are off the chain insane. She's here in Colorado. So just as a side note, there's an amazing blogging conference that's here in Colorado. And for me, blogging is still very, very, very relevant, but I think the approach to it and how we think about it just needs to keep up with the times. I was also a speaker. I'm looking kind of at my show notes. I just realized I left something off. I also spoke at Camp Phi, which I left a review on the show about earlier this week. So I was busy. And then as I look at just these few things, I'm like, I'm insane. Like, how did I manage all of this? Again, I added several high paying freelance clients that are energetically in alignment with me and my brand. They're also wonderful to work with. But like, they are great. And I'm starting to think, no, low paying clients aren't necessarily a bad thing, but it's just so much easier to get a high paying client once you figure out how. Like, it's so much easier. It's like, it makes sense why they ask what they ask in regards to what they're paying. The amount of hoops that I've had to like jump through for some of my low paying clients back in the day compared to what I'm doing now for some of these high paying freelance clients, it's ridiculous. So yeah, I was a podcast mentor for the second year in a row for the From the Margins to the Center podcasting program. It was wonderful, but it was really hard because I had to meet with my two mentees separately every week for 6 weeks. So that was just two meetings a week with them. But I also had, you know, feedback, that kind of thing. And then we had meetings with the entire cohort. So I was doing a lot of meetings in terms of just being a part of that program, not including all the podcast interviews, not including my clients, not including my course membership that I was doing and tinkering with. So it's just, that was a lot. I wrote two books. They were not good, as pandemics really mess with creative energy. And in fact, I had a whole strategy that I was working and I had to abandon the strategy, like the whole book strategy that I had for this year, for the earlier part of this year, I had to abandon. It just wasn't going to work because I just couldn't do the work. Like, I just didn't, I was mentally fried. So I just had to cancel all the books that I was going to do and rework my strategy. So as I move forward with publishing this year, it'll be interesting to see if I'm able to meet the metrics that I had set for myself with this reworked strategy. But I had to just be honest with the fact that I didn't have it in me to do it. Like, trying to survive a pandemic and being, you know, isolated the way that I was. And it just was a lot. So I had to acknowledge that and give myself some grace. Weirdly, though, I made more money. That was great. Michelle is Money Hungry had the most downloads ever in a month for my podcast. I had more page views than I've had in a year on my blog. I was also a mentor. See, there's a lot going on here. I was also a mentor for Thinkific mentorship program. So I host my course in Thinkific. I actually like both Thinkific and Teachable, but I prefer Thinkific because they pay upon purchase. So if someone buys my course, I don't have to wait 30 days to get my money. So that's a big, big difference for me. And that's kind of a non-negotiable. Anyway, they had this really cool opportunity to mentor other course creators within the platform and help them build out their course or just give them feedback or whatever. So I worked with 5 course creators on their courses and gave them feedback and content and that kind of thing. I was profiled in CNBC. This was huge because I actually thought the profile was for a different online platform. So because these companies have more than one platform, right? So when I'm talking to this lovely, lovely, lovely interviewer, so nice, like just wonderful person, then she emails me and she's like, oh, it's live. And I'm like, the hell? Because I had no idea that it was going to be on CNBC. And it was so true to my voice, and I really appreciated the care that she put into it. And, you know, sometimes you're a little nervous about putting yourself out there like this. And this time I felt really good about it. And she's just awesome. So yeah, that was wonderful. I grew all of my social media feeds by staying consistent. And yeah, that included sharing what I felt about politics, power, and money, and other issues, because for me, they're all interrelated. These are things that I've talked about in the past. I've never really shied away from having conversations about money, race, class, whatever, bias, within the context of what I felt I needed to share on my website. And what I learned from that is it's better to always to share who you are from the beginning, because then you don't catch people off guard, right? Like me sharing that I am not happy with what's going on right now. No one who follows the content that I create should be shocked by this. Like there's no shock, right? If you talk to me in person, I would say the same thing. If you DM'd me, I would say the same thing. If I'm reacting to something on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, I would do the same thing. So the reason I'm bringing this up is it is very dangerous for influencers online to be two ways. You need to just be consistent. It's easier to do, it's easier to maintain, and it's easier to attract the people that you're trying to help and serve because they know who you are. Right? So no one has to guess that I hate everything that's going on right now. There's no guessing, right? Or what I think about Black Lives Matter, or what I think about how we treat vets or whatever. Like there's no guessing, because if you ask me, I'm going to share a thoughtful answer. I'm not going to be a douche, because that's not helpful. I'm going to spend some time really thinking about it. An example of that is the episode that I released after the Black Lives Matter protests broke out. And it was it's called A Conversation About Race and Class. And I felt like that just had to be said, but it was the hardest episode I've ever recorded. It took me several days to really think through what I wanted to say, because I didn't want to be reactionary. I wanted to add to the conversation, which is part of the reason why I love podcasting so, so much. And then I also recorded a couple of other episodes kind of, you know, touching on some of these topics as well. And the feedback has been beautiful. Beautiful. And I think also for people who maybe they never had insight into the things I'm talking about, because they're listening to my show and I'm sharing how I feel authentically without like cussing people out or being crazy, which is happening on every side and what's going on right now in the US, you lose the ability to have conversations and just to hear one another. So having this platform where I am a guest on shows, or I have my own show, or I'm writing, you know, content on my website, it's been great because people are clear where I stand. And that is really important for people to make decisions about where they spend their time. And I may not be right for you, and that's fine with me, because someone else can serve you better. The other lesson that I've learned from all this business-focused activity is to really pay attention to what you say yes to and be mindful about managing my professional energy. I am really tired right now. Like when I was working on this the other night, I couldn't believe how much work I'd been doing. Because I was like, I'm burning out. I'm losing track of emails. What is going on? Like it wasn't just like an issue of being disorganized. It just, I couldn't keep track of things. I was just exhausted. And this was why. So moving forward, I'll share some of the things that I'm going to be doing, but this was something that I had to really think about, which is, wow, I said yes to everything, which is why I also talk about why I'm saying no moving forward in a earlier episode from this month. All right. So personal life has been really hard. I just, hopefully I can get through this without tears, but it's been hard. The hardest part is I want to see my grandma. I really want to see my grandma. And I don't want to risk her because she has a compromised immunity. And I would have to travel to her state, and all these yahoos all over don't want to do what they need to do to help mitigate the spread of COVID. And it's so upsetting. And so now I'm trying to, and I can't drive, because if I drive from Colorado to Illinois, where she lives, I will definitely get pulled over. It's like a no-brainer, because white people get pulled over driving out of Colorado with Colorado plates because they always think we have pot. And so I can't drive, which would be safer in some respects in terms of just not being around other people and their germs. So that is something that is really bothering me and I'm really frustrated about. And I'm praying on it because she's my only grandma and I love her. And it's hard. I also had two friends get diagnosed with cancer this year. And one of them was actually diagnosed the week that we went into lockdown. And her cancer was so aggressive, they had to do an aggressive treatment process. Sorry, this is hard. And hopefully she'll be okay. However, her father died from cancer. So this is huge. And I had a third friend who passed away from cancer earlier this month. So when I say that it's been really hard. And you're alone because you're in quarantine and you can't help people, not really. So it's been a very emotionally difficult time. And I was so busy that I really didn't have a lot of time to reflect on that. And I want to say that quarantining on my own was really interesting because, again, my life didn't change that much. And part of what I wanted when I left my 9-to-5 was to have more time with people. And I do feel that I did a good job having more time with people, but the quarantine showed that I want twice the amount of time, double the amount of time that I was spending with people because nothing's guaranteed. It's just not guaranteed. Your life isn't guaranteed. So moving forward, that is something that I really am focusing on. I was doing a work trade with a local gym that I signed onto about 2 weeks before the quarantine orders came down. Now, during normal circumstances, I probably would still be doing this exchange. However, it just became incredibly stressful, not because of anything other than my life was so busy, I didn't have the time for it. And the initial scope of work obviously had to change because we were quarantined. So it was frustrating because what my friend who runs the fitness center needs versus what I could do with those changes, I just couldn't do it. And I felt badly because I try to be consistent with my word. This is something that all of us need to focus on a daily basis. Sometimes we're good, sometimes we're bad. But with this, I really wanted to do what I said I would do. And finally, I was just like, this isn't working. And that was, this past week, I was like, this isn't working. Not because I don't want to help, but what you need and what I can provide right now is not going to work. And so I learned two lessons. One is pay the money. So pay the money, save the time. So I am at the point where I'm busy enough and I'm paid enough where some of these like little hacks that I do sometimes to save money, maybe I don't need to do them. And that was interesting thing to think about. And the other thing is I really have to think about my time value. And that was huge. So the minute that I was feeling frustrated, which was literally 2 months ago, was probably when I should have been like, this isn't working. But it all worked out and I'm no longer doing it. And it's a weight off my shoulders because it's a set of expectations I don't have to deal with anymore. Because when you're doing an exchange like that for free classes, the business owner is expecting a thing, like for you to do tasks. But I wasn't going to go into the studio to do anything because one, there was no one in there, but two, I was busy. So it worked out and that was something to think about. Personally, this is so sad. So last year I shared that it was the heaviest that I'd ever been and I hated it. Now I've lost a little weight since then, but this is my summer body and this is my summer body and I haven't lost weight and I've decided that I can only manage so many big projects at one time. So I'm still paying off the unsecured debt. I'm almost done with it. And that takes a lot of brain energy. It's going to be a whole different podcast episode because this is something I've been spending a lot of time thinking about. There's just a level of brain energy that goes into debt repayment or income growth or weight loss. And it just, in order for me to shift my focus to weight loss, I just need this last little things done so that I even have the energy to do it. So I had to let go of my weight loss concerns or just desires to do it. And I'm fine with it. I, weirdly enough, I've been hit on a lot this year, so no one seems to be complaining, but I do want to be in better shape. I want to look better. I feel self-conscious when I look at my videos and my pictures. And I'm being very vulnerable and transparent when I say that. Like, I don't like how I look. My clothes, like, I'm wearing, for two reasons, I'm wearing one-piece items. So, like, maxi dresses, rompers, or jumpsuits. One, because it's simplicity. But two, that's about all I can fit into, right? That frustrates me. But quite honestly, I am trying to survive a pandemic. I'm okay that I emotionally ate. I needed it. So there you go. I needed it. I enjoyed it. So sue me. I've started meeting more people and having deeper conversations and connections. I love this. So again, I learned that I need more people time. And weirdly, as I hung out on coffee shop patios and all of us tried to like process what we were doing, I had all these amazing conversations with people in my neighborhood. And the other day, one of those people saw me and they were like, "Michelle, we were worried about you." And I was like, "What? Like, why were you worried about me?" They were like, "You disappeared." And I was like, "I didn't disappear. I can't do work on the patio. You guys are too talkative." And this is an older gentleman, older white guy. And he's like, "No, we just loved having our conversations with you because it'd be a group of us, like all these old dudes and myself and other people. And we'd just have our coffee because that's the only place we could go. And we needed people." And he literally ran across the street to make sure it was me and to check on me and let me know what was going on in his life. And that made me feel really good, that sense of community and that they cared that I was okay. And I look forward to doing more of that. One of the things I've spent time thinking about is my place in my space. And what I mean by that is I love living in Colorado, but I don't want to be in a community and not add to it. Whether or not I move to like Colombia or Paris or whatever. And so I've been thinking about, how can I make my city better? There are a lot of problems here in town and in the state. One of the problems, you know what? I'm not even going to get into that in the show. But my point is, I think about that a lot. And having these conversations and helping people and sharing who I am, I love that. And I love deepening my roots here. And even though I do plan on 3 to 6 months abroad after all this is done, maybe even 9 months because I'm tired. Ultimately, I do think that Colorado is my forever place. I love it. I love it here, but it's not a perfect place. And so in keeping with that, I've thought about who am I and what's my role in this state. The guy that I was talking to was like, "I will support you in any political endeavors that you focus on." I was like, "Dude, never." But it's funny because back in the day, I did think about going into politics. But for me to go into politics, I would have to be making a lot of money where I am not influenced by others, to be honest. And I think a large part of why we got a lot of problems is, you know, we have politicians influenced by other people. And so it's difficult for them not to be swayed by the interests of other people. My governor, side note, by the way, all this is a side note. My governor is he's sold a company for like almost $300 million. So he does what he does. Like, he's not easily swayed because he's rich. He doesn't give a crap. He's going to do what he does. So it's been really interesting kind of seeing how that affects his policy and what he does. And that's a side note. Anywho, I'm going to refocus. By the way, I'm also left on a personal level with a deeper appreciation of the state I live in because I want to be here for the next 2 years. Like, I'm probably not really going to be going out of town any sooner than November, like out of state. Right now, I'm currently planning on attending an event in November, but I'm going to be pretty much here for the next couple of years. And so it's a good thing that I actually like living here. And I did a couple of things. One is I've just been really focusing on self-care. So each month I have a thing that I do. I visited Salida, Colorado for a quick staycation, which was wonderful. It's a beautiful little mountain town. I went on a 3-day backpacking trip. At the end of the trip, we saw moose, which was awesome. Two of them. I went on some really great hikes and joined some cool outdoor life communities because there's tons of them here, but I thought I'd join some new ones and they've been wonderful. I've taken some short staycations and have scheduled future ones. So I'll be going to Breckenridge in August, Telluride in September, and camping at Sand Dunes National Park at the end of October. These are actually all frugal trips, by the way. They're very cheap to do. I have a whole process to keep these things super cheap. So I will share that as things move along. I experience those trips. I'll share them later. 98% of the events that I was supposed to attend were either canceled, moved online, or delayed until next year. Like 99% of Americans, I am now unable to travel outside of the United States and have around 10 to 15 countries in the actual entire world that I, even if I could travel, that I would have access to. And I'm pissed off about this. I'm really freaking pissed off about this. I don't know why we're not talking about this enough. The Bahamas just shut their doors to us again. So for all of you guys who are like, it's fine, let's not wear the mask, like freedom. Fine, have your freedom, but your freedom means that you can't go anywhere because we're a hot COVID-y mess. So enjoy it. I'm like so tired of people. Like I don't even want to, I am not interested in trying to convince you to do a thing. That just means we're going to be here together longer and you can't go where you want to go. That's it in a nutshell. In the spring, I don't even know when this happened because it's so intense. A financial community that I'm a part in, have been a part of for since 2012, had a very intense come to Jesus moment, and I'm still reeling from it. That was hard. And for those of you in the community, you know what I'm talking about. And then finally, I protested and will continue to protest for my rights and other people's rights. I tend to protest, like I've been protesting since I was in high school, which is interesting because my mom's not a protester. So I've just always have felt compelled to show up peacefully and exercise my First Amendment rights. And that will continue until I'm like 107. So there you go. The next 6 months. Okay, people, the first part of the year was wild. And unfortunately, it seems like the year may continue to be intense moving forward. For me, I'm looking to simplify so that I can manage the situation and also to achieve the goals that I'm working towards. Here are some of the things that I'm trying to do. Again, spend more time with people, socially distanced and wearing a mask. Give myself grace during these stressful times. I just have to understand that I'm moving at a different pace and so are the people around me. Attend and support the Elevate Influencer event this August. It's geared towards people of color who are financial influencers. However, there is also content geared towards the communities that we serve. Start working on Money on the Mountain 2021. That is the event that I host for women who are trying to better their money. I still don't have it right, so it's a good opportunity for me to get experts to speak on the topics that I don't have skills in. Because I don't know all of it. I'm not the end all. So I am thrilled to make the official announcement at the beginning of August about Money on the Mountain, what that's going to vaguely look like because it's a year out and how I'm crafting it with COVID in mind. I'm still going to continue focusing on growing my email list, podcast downloads, and of course, income. And I'm looking to serve more authors via my Make Money with eBooks Academy. What I'm super excited about, though, is now that Michelle is money hungry, is literally a teenager about to go to college, I don't have to nurture this project as much as I had to in the beginning. I'm really going to be focusing on my project Square State. One of the things I didn't mention in the business part of this show, like what I was doing with business, is I've actually recorded a ton of content for that project. I have a lot of content ready, and I'm excited to really get that out in the world and help people get to know my wonderful Square State of Colorado a little better with nuanced conversations with people who live here. So that's going to be a lot of fun growing that. I actually think it's going to be 10 times easier than growing Michelle is Money Hungry based on what happened when I first launched both projects. So that's going to be fun to do. I'm going to start working on weight loss again. My goal is actually to be able to wear one of those saucy carnival. It depends on where you are. Anyway, you know, one of those outfits with the feathers and all that kind of stuff for February 2022. So I have plenty of time to get snapped back because it's gonna take that long. I'm going to take 4 months off from recording podcasts. I'm tired. I have so much podcasting content that all I need to do is edit it. So there's no point in me recording as much as I am. Like I've got so much. And I do plan to record in September as a guest or as a host. But then after that, I will take October through December off. And I'm really looking forward to that. It looks like I'll be attending the 20 Books to 50K conference in, of all places, Las Vegas in November. I will be wearing my mask and I will not touch anything because no touchy. Ooh, like, you know, it's Vegas. They're going to hold that event no matter what. And Vegas, you know, Vegas, they're not going to close. So I do plan on attending very carefully. I will have my own room because initially I had a roommate and they backed out, which is fine. So it worked out perfectly. And then from November 20th through January 4th, I will actually take a break off of social media. Every year I plan a break. This one's even longer than before. And now that I think about it, I might even move that break depending on what happens with the election. So it might even happen earlier because I just might need a break. I need a break now, but I need to, you know, do stuff that grows my business. So are you tired? I am freaking tired. And I have to leave this episode with asking you this. What were your last 5 months like? Have you been working towards your goals or overwhelmed? Like, what's it been like? So definitely let me know. Email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com or go to one of my social media feeds and slip me a message. By the way, I had this guy friend me on Instagram and leave a nice message, okay, regarding an interview that I did. Seemed fine. Then he just kind of went left and was like, I want to get to know you better. And da, 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 and it was just weird. And then finally, his last message was, is this stalky? And I'm like, if you've got to ask this question, then yes, this is stalky behavior. So I blocked him, obviously, because I was like, you need to learn how to manage your thoughts, emotions, and impulse control. But people, if you're doing that to people, they will block you. They will block you because you're being crazy. So just side note. Anyway, have a great day. Thank you for listening to the show. I would love to hear your updates as well. Take care. Stay safe. Wear a mask.